Jesus had already preached a sermon before the Sermon on the Mount, but Matthew tends to leave things out until we get to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew had said Jesus preached, but gave no details. Luke says he went to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. He read Isaiah 61 from the scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And that he said that the give him the power to proclaim the gospel to the poor. They drove Jesus out of Nazareth and were going to throw him off the cliff. And he went back and walked through them. So Jesus had already given a sermon, but Matthew doesn't talk about it. Matthew wants to get to the Sermon on the Mount as quick as he can. The Sermon on the Mount, he may have talked a lot longer than Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He may have talked for hours and hours, and we're getting a summary in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. However, it will take us longer than 1 week to look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It will take several weeks. So he talked a lot longer than just reading this, but to explain it will take a while longer. I would like to begin by saying, what is the purpose of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? The very last paragraph will give the purpose. In the very last paragraph, it says, "The wise man builds his house upon the rock, and he is the rock." Wise people will trust in Jesus as Savior and build their life on him for a foundation. Foolish people will build their house upon the sand, and they will fall and collapse. So that's where the Sermon on the Mount will be going. We won't get that far just in one study of it, but that's where it's going. Wise man builds his house on the rock. Foolish man builds his house on the sand. There will also be in here many contrasts. People who fall to their destruction, they go in a sinkhole. They go in a mud pit. The actual people in mind here are the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were what we would call lawyers, because the law of Moses was used in their courts. So they're called lawyers very often in the Bible. And they're called the writers and the scribes who studied the law. And the Pharisees were business people. They were not really priests. But he's going to contrast, unless you exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's going to contrast those who build their house on the rock and trust Jesus as Savior versus those who build their house on the sand like these scribes and Pharisees, and they are going to hope they get to heaven by being good and giving lots of money away and being very, very religious. Contrast will be often, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." You have heard the scribes and Pharisees. You have heard this religious people that think they're saved by their goodness. You have heard them say, "But I say unto you." And they'll have to be a lot better. How good would a person have to be saved by works? Matthew 5:48, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So, if a person was saved by works, they'd have to be sinless. God is sinless. God the Son is sinless. God the Holy Spirit is sinless. Not any of the listeners to his sermon. So he's contrasting the scribes and the Pharisees. They think they're saved by their religion and their good works, but they have to be a lot better than that. They have to be perfect. They're not going to be perfect. Relative to the scribes and Pharisees, it's coming. They talk about the sound of the trumpets. And that could be like David's son, Adonijah, who had a horse and a wagon, and he sounds the trumpets before him. On the other hand, a lot of people think that the offering boxes in the temple were upside down trumpets. You've seen coin boxes, you throwing coins in to give to charities, and it goes around clanking. So sounding the trumpets is the Pharisees, look how much money I give. Clink, clink, clink. Look, that's the trumpet. Look how much money I give, I'm saved by that. And the point of this whole sermon is, you're not sinless. And the point of this whole sermon is that you have to be perfect to be sinless, and the scribes and Pharisees are not going to be saved by their religious rituals. That begins. Now we can look at the background to where the sermon takes place. Matthew 5, 1 and 2. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, and then we'll get to the Beatitudes here shortly. Jesus went up on the mountain, Sermon on the Mount. Luke 6 has a very similar sermon, but it calls it the Sermon on the Plain. And living here, we know the difference between the mountain and the plains. Sounds like different location. Luke 6 is a lot shorter. It's only 32 verses. Here, on the mount, all of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, all of chapter 7. Also here, Jesus sat down to teach. But in Luke chapter 6, he stood up. So they are not the same sermon. They're similar sermons. They're like each other. So every once in a while we can bring in Luke chapter 6, but I think it's a similar sermon at a different place to different people. It even has a little bit different wording. The Pharisees were the ones that he's opposing, and every description that he's now going to give is going to be the opposite of the Pharisees. Like when we read coming, those who are poor in spirit. Well, the Pharisees weren't. They didn't feel that they were spiritually in poverty. They were great. They were rich spiritually already. Blessed are those who mourn over their sins. Well, the Pharisees had no reason to feel sorry for any sins because they were just great people. Blessed are the gentle. They were quite mean. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, finding out what is true and doing it, they're not going to listen to what Jesus says is true and do it. Blessed are the merciful. Well, they're not merciful. They're very, very hard on people. So that's where this is going. It's going to contrast the scribes and Pharisees who would not be saved by their good works. Before going on, though, we should say there are two original words for blessing. One is eulogeo, and when we make Winston's funeral, we will be eulogizing. Eulogeo means to say good things. And very often in the Bible, that's the word, to say good things. This word means happy. Happy are the so-and-so, happy are the so-and-so, happy are the so-and-so. Not as familiar, makarios. I remember watching the news years ago, and the Greek Orthodox Bishop of Cyprus, his name was Makarios. That's calling somebody Mr. Happy. Happy are these people. Happy are they, happy are they. In growing up, when I was a kid, I heard a sermon where the pastor said there are no references to happiness in the Bible. Well, it's very often translated blessed, but there are lots of references to happiness in the Bible. Very often translated as a blessed feeling. We should be joyful at all times, meaning content and satisfied with God, but we can't be happy at all times. We can't always feel good. But if we have a time and place where we can feel good, it's a good thing. So Happy are the so-and-so. And that's what it's telling us, what Jesus says about how a person can be happy. Before going on to the next verse, though, we should ask, who are all his listeners? They're obviously Jewish, the original listeners, and lots of references to the temple as it comes. If you bring your gift to the altar, you should go be reconciled to your brother first. Well, we don't bring any gifts to the altar. And Matthew 6, all these things do the Gentiles eagerly seek. So he's talking to Jewish people directly. Now, there are many commentators that say, well, the Sermon on the Mount is irrelevant for the church because he's talking to Jewish people. But I would look at it this way. He's talking to people who will go into the kingdom of heaven. Jewish believers will go into the kingdom of heaven as they were believers under the Old Testament and temple system. And church believers will also be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Common phrase is, if the shoe fits, wear it. So if there are phrases in here that fit Christians, apply them to now. True, we're not going to leave our animal sacrifice at the altar. And there are things in here that would not fit for now because he was directly talking to Jewish people. On the other hand, we are also going to be citizens of the kingdom. And he's talking to people who will go into the kingdom. So I don't agree with the commentators that say this is only for Jewish listeners and nothing is relevant for now. Blessed means happy, and if it fits something that fits the church, we apply it now. Going through them now, we look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who feel spiritually poor. Happy are those who begin and say, I'm not okay by myself. I am spiritually poor. Now, we can apply it to financial poverty, but I think he's talking mainly about spiritual poverty. And with or without money, a person says, I can't do this myself. I can't get into heaven by myself. I am not good enough. Happy are those who feel that I am spiritually poor. The Pharisees were not like this. I thank God I'm not like this other guy. The Pharisee and the tax collector praying at the temple. I'll bring that in later. I'm better. We're doing Revelation in Sunday school. Revelation has this attitude in it. I am rich and have need of nothing. Do you not know that you are weak, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? So verse 3, I would stress poor in spirit, not poor in bank account, but happy are those who feel they have spiritual needs. Happy are those who think I can't get through this by myself. These are not so much conditions of getting into heaven. We're saved by faith alone, but these are descriptions of saved people. These are descriptions of what people are like who want someone else to help them. They want salvation. Not conditions, descriptions. Descriptions of what saved people will be like. Happy will be those who think they are spiritually poor and they need to be saved. They need help. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This can be applied to all kinds of sadness. And we have troubles and have bereavement. Blessed are those who are mourn, and God will comfort. Directly, though, if we're taking it as a sermon about spiritual conditions, happy are those who mourn over their sin. Happy are those who say, I can't make it on my own, and I need some help. and I feel sorry for my sin, and I need to get upon Jesus, who is the rock. I need to make him the foundation of life. So verses 3 and 4 all do give us the contrast of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, he was not poor. I thank God I'm not like this other person. And the tax collector, not poor in money, but poor in spirit. The tax collector knew he had needs, and he was mourning over his sin. We're not saved by mourning over our sin, but it is a start. That's usually the description of a person who knows, I need some help. And Jesus said, or will say in Luke 18:14, he went home justified because he knew, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he knew he had troubles. So these are descriptions of people who want salvation, not how to be saved. That's by trusting in Jesus 150 times, just faith alone. But descriptions are people who start out saying, I am spiritually poor, I need some help. And I am feeling sorrow over sin, and something has to be done. Verse 5, again, these are all happy. Happy are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Each one of these can be reversed. Happy are the gentle. Unhappy are the mean. Mean and cruel people will not be happy. They just want to do it over and over again. They're not going to be happy. But happy are the gentle. The Pharisees were critical and mean and impatient. And they're the opposite of this description. So, blessed are the gentle, saved by faith, but that is a condition of people who do trust in Jesus as Savior. It describes them. What are real believers like? Well, they tend to be gentle. They don't feel superior to other people. And it does say that if someone does sin, be gentle on them. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, Galatians 6:1. Gonna be gentle on them. We start out that way. If they want some help, start out without feeling superior in the spirit of meekness. And it relates to the previous sermon when it says restore. That's the actual Greek word for mending the nets. So it's used literally of mending the nets to go fishing in the life of Jesus story, but restore other people in meekness, in gentleness, and is trying to mend them emotionally and mend them spiritually. Now we go on to verse 6, another description of happiness, and we can reverse it too after I read it, but verse 6, blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let's flip it backwards before we do the positive part, which is the way he's talking. Unhappy are those, miserable are those who don't care about what's right. Miserable are those who don't care about what's true. Miserable are those who don't care about what's right. And we could say they're starving to death emotionally. They're not content and satisfied like they've had a banquet. They're starving to death. Miserable are those, using a negative direction. Jesus' entire sermon is in a positive direction. Happy are those that kind of had the attitude, I want to find out what is true. I want to find out what is right. And Jesus says people like that will be more happy. The Bible's own illustration of someone looking for what is true and right would be Cornelius. That's a story in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, before Peter came to him to give him the gospel, before he was even saved, it says in Acts 10 verse 2, he was a devout man who feared God with all his household. In other words, here is a person, I want to find out what is true. I want to find out what is right. Doesn't even know about salvation by the cross yet. But he wanted to find out what is true and he wanted to find out what is right. That's a description. And when people are like that, Peter went to him. When people are like that, God will send someone to them. And they trust in Jesus as Savior. God will give people who have such an attitude, he will give them the answers they are looking for. So even before he was saved, Cornelius wanted to know what is right. He was hungering and thirsting for it. Verse 7, happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Grace means getting something we did not deserve. And mercy is a little bit different. Mercy means feeling sorry for someone who has real trouble. So grace, by trusting in Jesus as Savior, is salvation we didn't deserve. But mercy is a response to someone who is hurting. So when God responds to us, we are hurting. We need mercy of salvation. Helping someone in pain is mercy. One thing about mercy, we have what goes around comes around. God is merciful if the Christian acts merciful. So if a person cares about those who are suffering, God will care about that person. What we give out, we get back. Always makes us think of Psalm 18:25. With a merciful, you show yourself merciful. Being merciful and caring about others in need, well, God says, I will give that back to you. One of his great characteristics is God is merciful. We didn't pick it for singing, but it would have worked. Lamentations 3:23, his mercies are new every morning, or great are his mercies. Now we look at verse 8, and here's happiness, a description of what believers are like, and we can do the opposite. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God is perfect. We can't be perfect. All have fallen short. The original word actually means to shoot at a target and miss the target, and the arrow falls down on the ground and misses the target. All have fallen short. And we can't keep total purity. We can't be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. But we can work on that direction. Work on purity. And working on it, even though we can't be perfect, working on it is better than not caring about it at all. Happy are those who want to be clean morally. Unhappy are those who don't care about whether they are dirty in thoughts and behavior. Such will see God. We could say if we want to be pure, we'd want to trust in Jesus as Savior and see God in heaven. Or even now, those who want to do what is right will see God more in the sense of understanding God more. Also, another contrast, the Pharisees and scribes like to fight all the time. So verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Pharisees love to fight. I'm better than these other people. I know more than these other people. I give more money than these other people. They love to fight. Now, trusting Jesus as Savior brings a peace treaty with God and somewhat of an attitude of trying to make peace with other people. I always like Romans 5, 1 and 9 because it's past tense. Having been justified by faith, that's the original Greek word. The original Greek word, it's already over with, for people or faith. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Ephesians chapter 2, same thing. Jesus came and preached peace to you, to those who were far, it'd be the Gentiles, to those who were near, they would be the Jews. And we have peace treaty with God. No more war. Then, people like that generally want to have peace with other people. Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, so far as it depends upon you, live in peace with all men. So, peace whenever possible. Sometimes it is not. They won't straighten up. There's nothing we can do about it. Try to make shalom Old Testament. New Testament is actually Irene. The lady's name down comes from it. So, if possible, try to make peace. Unbelievers like to fight. Scribes and Pharisees like to fight. The last happiness, the last blessing, is accepting persecution, accepting insults for being a believer. Verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men insult you and persecute you and say falsely all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, it says reward will be great. No one is saved by suffering for Jesus. We're saved by faith, but there is such thing as more rewards and lesser rewards. All who believe enter heaven, but there's such a thing as greater crowns or lesser crowns. Greater riches in the kingdom, lesser. You rule over 5 cities, you rule over 10 cities. There will be such a thing as greater glory in the resurrection body. 1 Corinthians 15, one star shines greater than another star, so also is the resurrection. It's kind of a strange line, make a big long sentence. One star sparkles more than other, so will also the resurrection be. So the Sermon on the Mount is like here, if you are insulted for Jesus, your reward will be greater. Here's an illustration of Luke 6:23 being different. They end up being the same lesson, but Luke 6:23 is, woe to you when all men speak well of you. This is, they will insult you, tolerate it. But woe to you if someone who is evil gives you an endorsement. There's a time when somebody might say a nice thing and they themselves are evil and they themselves are false and you don't want their endorsement. They both kind of say the same thing, but that kind of illustrates the Sermon on the Mount, different time, different place. And here, Sermon on the Plain, Luke chapter 2, a lot shorter, different place, a little bit different phraseology. They will hate you because they hated me first, John chapter 15. So sometimes if a person says something that's insulting, they hate Jesus first, and Jesus says to tolerate it. Looking at all these, we can say, blessed are those who feel they have spiritual poverty. Happy are those who say, I need some help. Blessed are those, happy are those, who have mourned over their sins. Happy are the gentle. Unhappy are the mean. Can kind of reverse them. That's not what he's saying, but just reverse it. Happy are those who want to find what is true and do what is right. Happy are those who are merciful to those in need and in sorrow. Happy are those who are pure in heart. They want to do what is right. Happy are those who don't want to fight all the time. Unhappy are those who like to fight all the time. Happy are those that when they work for Jesus, when they believe in Jesus, when they approve what Jesus teaches, they are insulted. So all that just for these 12 verses, and the Sermon on the Mount is a lot longer, and we will go on next time where he's saying you are salt to the world and you are light to the world. The musicians, please come.